Welcome back to Go Gaddis Real Estate Radio right here on AM 920 The Answer. I'm Cleve Gaddis. In this segment, we're going to talk about dual income no kids versus dual income with kid families and which is more likely to actually own a home. We are also going to talk about class action notices sent to sellers about the commission lawsuits, and we're going to help you slam the scam when it comes to Social Security. Let's jump into it. Again, my name is Cleve Gaddis. You're listening to Go Gaddis Real Estate Radio, where we help listeners go from real estate novices to real estate experts so home buying and selling can be done with total confidence and without all the worry that is so typical with life's biggest investments. And we want to connect with you. We really do. Go to GoGaddisRadio.com. You can ask questions that we answer on air or off air. You can make comments or push back or share ideas. We encourage you to do that. We had a couple of guests on last week's show telling us all about the city of College Park, and that was somebody who decided to put their foot down and say that what I had said on the radio was not accurate, and they wanted to help correct that, and I actually enjoy that. You can also request we do some additional research on your neighborhood to help you and your fellow homeowners in the neighborhood know whether or not you might have a particular advantage when it comes to selling a home in your neighborhood. You can also subscribe to our podcast. We're available on every major podcasting platform. Go to GoGaddisRadio.com. We've got an article for you. The article is dual income, no kid households are less likely to own a home. No, wait a minute. Dual income households with no kids are less likely to own a home. I've heard before that it was children that drive a bunch of home ownership in the country, but I've never seen any information on this. This is from GoBankingRates.com, October 24th. Of last year. Owning a home has lots of advantages. You can build credit, customize your home to your liking. You can build equity. You can avoid rent increases, which is huge, and qualify for tax deductions. But homeownership isn't for everyone, even when finances aren't an issue. A recent study from a large mortgage company analyzed data from the U.S. Census Bureau's current population survey to compare dual-income households with no kids, DINKS, D-I-N-K-S, to dual-income households with kids. And that's, I guess that's pronounced Dukes, D-I-W-K-S. I don't know how you would pronounce D-I-W-K-S. The study found that although DINKS usually earn more, they are less likely to own a home than those who earn dual-income and have kids. When it comes to annual earnings, dual income no kids earn more than dual income with kids in about 50% of the states in the nation. Dual income households with no kids earn $138,000 per year on average, which is nearly 7% more than the $129,000 average annual income of dual income families with kids. States where dual income no kids earn more: Connecticut 70%, Rhode Island 62%. Illinois, 41%. But a higher income doesn't mean, basically, that home ownership is a given. Even though dual-income households with no kids often earn a higher average income than dual-income households with kids, it's the dual-income with kids that are more likely to own a home. Across the nation, 72% of dual-income households with kids own a home, compared to 59% of dual-income houses with no kids. In 39 states, dual income with kids are more, dual income households with kids are more likely to be homeowners than dual incomes with no kids. Real quickly, homeownership percentage for dual income no kids vary greatly by state. In Mississippi, a whopping 93% of dual income households with no kids own their own home. Dual income no kids in Maine and New Hampshire, 88% and 86% respectively, own their home. In New York, only 37% of dual income no kid households own their own home, followed by 32% in D.C. and only 22% in Hawaii. Dual income no kid households are probably less likely to own a home for the following reasons. Number one, freedom and flexibility afforded by renting instead of buying, and no worries about potential impacts on a child's schooling or social situation. Dual income, no kid. Households often don't require larger homes with multiple bedrooms, yards, good school districts, etc., that families with kids prize. And according to the U.S. Census Bureau, the median size of a new single-family home sold in 2022 was 2,400 square feet, just a little less, whereas the median size of multifamily units built for rent in 2022 was 1,010 square feet, or less than half the size of a single-family home. So maybe they're looking for increased mobility. Dual-income families who do not have to consider children's needs can take advantage of increased mobility without kids tying them down. Dual-income, no-kid households or couples may be more open to frequently moving for job opportunities. Also, later nesting. Dual-income, no-kid couples may be getting married and settling down later in life, delaying home-buying decisions. According to the U.S. Census Bureau, the average first-time groom is 30, while the average first-time bride is 28, compared to being 25 and 22, respectively, in 1980. The National Association of Realtors' 2022 profile of homebuyers and sellers found that the average age of a typical first-time homebuyer is 36, which is considered an all-time high. So I would have thought that dual-income households with no kids would be more likely to own a home, but it turns out they are less likely to own a home. If you have been hearing about what's going on in a lawsuit between the National Association of Realtors, other big brokerage companies, and a group of sellers in Missouri and other lawsuits around the world, you'll notice that if you've done a real estate transaction, and I hesitate to even talk about this because when I talk about this, it makes it seem like or sound like that real estate agents, licensed real estate professionals, have not done as well as they should have done to protect the interest of consumers. And what happened is there are typically two different brokers, real estate brokerages, involved in a real estate transaction. There's the side that represents the seller and the side that represents the buyer. And at one time, it was understood that every broker involved in the transaction represented the seller. I forget what that was called, sub-agency, I believe it was called. But let's just call it sometime in the 90s. There was a huge surge of desire for buyers to have their own representation, to have somebody who is protecting their interest in a real estate transaction. And so the world of buyer agency was born. Well, what happens is when you list your home with a listing broker, whatever their fee is, let's just say it's 5.5% or 6%, those are certainly negotiable. The listing broker agrees to split or pay some portion of their commission to the buyer's agent. Home sellers in Missouri and surrounding areas said that that artificially inflated the cost of selling a home. The reality is, I don't believe that's the truth, because when you have, 500 buyer's agents trying to help you sell a home instead of zero buyer's agents trying to help you sell a home, the odds are the sellers can sell the home for more money. I'm not a judge in the case. I'm not a lawyer. Certainly, I'm a real estate professional, which means I believe real estate commissions should be paid. But what's happening now is some home sellers from over the last few years, depending upon what state you're in, are receiving notices saying that you might have the ability to participate in the class action lawsuit. And I want to make sure that you're aware of it when it comes in and that you get to do what you think is right. I think you'll have the right to either opt out of it totally, you'll get the right to object to it, or you'll get the right to accept the settlement. Who knows? There's probably a little over $200 million that has already been collected through fines with REMAX, Keller Williams, and Anywhere, which is Coldwell Banker, Century 21, other offices. And so my suggestion is you do whatever you think is the right thing for you to do. I honestly believe that real estate a couple of years from now is going to be done pretty much the way it is done currently. I think that the requirement to pay a real estate commission might go away, but I think your average reputable real estate professional will probably try to figure out a way to compensate people. National Slam the Scam Day is March the 7th. On National Slam the Scam Day and throughout the year, we give you tools to recognize Social Security-related scams. We want you to help protect your loved ones and the people in your community. This Slam the Scam Day by, number one, educating them about government imposter scams. Let them know they shouldn't be embarrassed to report if they share personal information or suffer a financial loss. And often sharing the scam alert fact sheet, which you can get on the Social Security Administration's website, is a great way to spread the word. This segment of the show is brought to you by the law firm of O'Kelly and Sorhan. They're a full-service law firm with almost 30 offices throughout Metro Atlanta. They can be reached by calling 770-497-1880. If you're looking to sell your home anytime in the next 6 months, we believe we can sell your home for $28,000 more than your neighbor sold his or her home for. If that sounds like it's too good to be true, I say try me. Go to gogaddisradio.com, click on $28,000 more, put in just a little bit of information about your home, about the location of your home, a little information like that. We'll reach out to you. We'll set an appointment. I'll connect with you myself. I'll meet with you at the property, or we can meet online if it makes sense, and I'll talk you through the two things that I believe we can do: a customized maximum value plan and a rehab and refresh budget of up to $15,000 that can put more money in your pocket. I'm telling you, we've had people who've used our rehab and refresh program who've sold their house for $50,000 or $60,000 more than they otherwise could have. I want to say thank you for joining me for another week's edition of Go Gaddis Real Estate Radio. We'll be back same time, same channel next week, Atlanta. Talk to you then. Have a great week.